This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States for the latest from the markets. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you and happy Friday to everyone.
Absolutely happy Friday. And of course, it is the first Friday of the month, and that means it's non-farm payroll day. And it's a happy day in terms of employment numbers, because we've seen the US economy creating more jobs than expected, 172,000 in May, primarily created in leisure and hospitality. And I'm going to ask you whether you think that might be more to do with the up and coming World Cup. Don't know if you have any interest in the World Cup, Nick.
I've never heard of it before. Just kidding.
It's not setting the world on fire inside of the United States. I think we over here in Europe are a bit more interested at the moment, but let's hope this summer's tournament really takes off over the next few weeks, and it begins, of course, next Thursday. But there are some who are suggesting that the lead up to the World Cup is partially responsible for these higher jobs figures than expected.
No, that makes sense. And I think just to put into context how strong this number was, we were forecasting here, when I say we, of course, that's the economics community putting together their aggregated forecasts, at 85,000 jobs to be added to the U.S. economy in the month of May. Instead, we got 172. That is more than a double. And Johnny, this is like the third one in a row, I think, together where we have seen the jobs number come in sharply higher than what forecasts were at. And immediately I said to myself when I saw this number, I said, oh, well, I'm going to check the Instagram, I'm going to check the Facebook, et cetera, later. And we'll have the controversy in the comment section talking about, well, how did these jobs come and who's to blame and who's to thank and all that. What I thought was interesting, though, is that the common kind of concern people have is that, well, yes, but they'll revise the number later, right? We've heard that it reiterated, and for good reason. Over the last 5 years, we have seen many downward revisions, and it's not a political thing either. It happened under Biden and Trump. So to add context there, today's number, we saw a very strong one, and this and the last print, we both also saw higher revisions to the prior number. So this is an actually stronger jobs number coming in, confirmed not just by the headline number, but by the revisions to the prior. So these are revisions higher, jobs beating expectations, unemployment rate remains at 4.3%, and wage growth came in line with expectations. Now, we can kind of speculate as to why these job creations came. I'm going to read something here really quick. Government and government-related sectors accounted for majority of job growth in May. Local government added 55,000, which is the biggest surge since March of 2024. And as you pointed out, education and health, leisure and hospitality, these were areas where we saw significant gains in jobs. But they're gains nonetheless in an environment where we had kind of expected. 6 months ago, we were talking about labor markets really cooling. We need rate cuts. Fed's going to cut rates in 2026. And instead, we are now seeing a decidedly different outlook. Let's recap some of our data here recently. We have had PMIs come in stronger. We see inflation on the rise. Yields are you know, bucking the downtrend that they had been on and moving higher. And meanwhile, we have jobs data now coming in better than expected. JOLTS was better than expected. We also saw ADP numbers come in decently healthy. And now the hourly earnings, employment change, and unemployment rate coming in decent. So all of that to say, Johnny, the dollar is looking very strong. It's looking the best that it's looked in quite some time. In fact, it is at a high of about a month and a half. We haven't seen these levels since early April. And what I think is worth mentioning here is that this is an up day on the dollar where oil is down. Oil's down 1.8% today, and yet the dollar, the DXY, up 0.43% at the time of recording this. Why is that meaningful? Well, we now have kind of a dual effect here. Economic data that's coming in healthy and a geopolitical uncertainty event that continues to sort of bolster the dollar higher. And I can't help but say what we said last time on the podcast, this is in some ways feeling like 2022, 2023. Inflation is sticky. It's on the rise. The economy seems to be holding up just fine. And meanwhile, you have this big supply shock going on in the Middle East, which could continue to keep interest rates on the rise. One final thing in terms of interesting price movements today that are surrounding the dollar: gold down 2.5%, silver down 6.5%, oil's down 1.8%, and Bitcoin is down another 5%, back down to its lows of the year. So very interesting price action out there, and it seems that the core of it is higher rates and concerns about inflation. Meanwhile, the economy holding up okay. And just last thing I'll say on that, if you can remember, and the listeners might remember this as well if they've been trading for a while, in 2022 and 2023, the reason I keep saying it's kind of similar, we actually had a decently strong labor market and overall economy during that time, and inflation stubbornly went higher. So the stock market was down significantly during that time because the Fed was just hiking rates into continuum. And every time we heard from Powell, it was, we need to keep fighting inflation. So that's where I'm kind of drawing that concern of, it does feel eerily familiar with a geopolitical event, rising inflation, and an economy that seems to be holding up fine, so the Fed may not cut rates dramatically.
Meanwhile, we were talking about SpaceX earlier on in the week, Nick, if you recall, and how many are suggesting that it's a very overvalued company. And there's been another blow for Elon Musk's big company with the news that it hasn't been admitted to the S&P.
Well, yes. So basically, when we talk about SpaceX, this is a very high-flying name, an exciting name. It has been traded in the private markets for a while, and there is a lot of hype. But where there is a lot of hype, there's significant room for disappointment if anything comes up short. SpaceX is expected to, I believe it is 8 days away from IPOing. And what this news about the S&P 500's decision is all about is basically, they have requirements on basically criteria on how to get into the S&P 500. Obviously, being in the S&P 500 introduces significant passive flow of capital allocation. And so it's a heavily sought after position to be in the Fortune 500, S&P 500 index. So this decision, though, to keep their strict criteria in regards to joining the S&P 500 is seen as a blow to SpaceX because their seasoning period is that new public companies must trade on exchange for at least 12 months. That significantly slows down the kind of just passive flow into SpaceX. So SpaceX, of course, that drew a little concerns in the market. And in fact, I think it actually spread a little jitters to the broader market. If S&P is going to tighten up its IPO kind of funnel, then, or I should say, not tighten up, but rather keep and maintain their process for admitting new companies, it's seen as a challenge. I actually just wonder off the top of my head if that changes the dynamics for coming to market sooner, IPOing sooner. If the S&P 500, you know, these companies require capital, especially the AI related stuff. We have OpenAI, we have Anthropic, we have all these names. Coming earlier to market may get them that opportunity to be in the S&P 500 sooner. So there is a bit of a race here in multi-fashioned ways. And so we will continue to see how that plays out. But again, markets very much anticipating these, and any sort of delay on that, any sort of complications for them to get capital flooded in, definitely brings into question the circumstances.
Very interesting, Nick. Thank you for that analysis. What about the week to come? What should we look out for over the next 7 days or so?
So next week, the big one that we are definitely going to tune into is going to be on Wednesday. That's June 10th. It's core and headline CPI year over year for the U.S. Of course, this is at the very center of this story. We've now had the jobs data coming in hot. We've seen yields on the rise. Is the Fed going to strongly position in the direction of hiking rates? It is very much a possibility. If you continue to see inflation rise, by the way, just the number 4.2%, that's the forecast, 4.2%. We have not been at a 4.2% inflation rate in quite some time. That is a high of, I don't have in front of me, but at least a year. It has been a while since we've seen inflation levels there. And so that is a of deep concern to the market, what happens with not just the consumer price index, but on Thursday, we get the producer price index. We also will hear from the ECB. And then on Friday of next week, we have UK GDP numbers, some consumer sentiment numbers out of the University of Michigan from the US, and that'll wrap us up. But continuing to watch inflation following this week's round of jobs data.
We will speak to you again next week. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Shawna. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.